Recently, our Planet Money team got into the oil business. They bought 100 barrels of crude, and they sent it to a refinery. Refineries make it possible for oil to be made into all kinds of stuff, not just gasoline, but also medicines and clothing, and here's a big one, plastic. Noel King and Jess Jiang have the story of the man who launched the modern plastics industry and how fossil fuels helped him do it.
The man in question, Leo Bakeland, was a brilliant chemist. And like a lot of brilliant chemists, Leo was a little eccentric.
Carl Kaufman wrote a book about Leo. He says even when Leo wasn't in the lab, he thought like a chemist, like at his family's summer home.
He would simply walk into the pool with his clothes on, get himself nicely soaked and wet, walk out, cool off without ever putting on a swimsuit or anything else. As he said, evaporation is a cooling process.
Thinking like a chemist.
Thinking like a chemist, exactly.
Leo lived around the turn of the century when the U.S. was getting wired up with electricity. The problem was electricity started fires. You had plugs and sockets and wires, and they needed coating to keep sparks from flying. At the time, people used an all-natural substance made from bugs.
Science writer Susan Frankel says they were using a special bug.
The wonderful and beautiful lac beetle, the shellac beetle.
Get it? Not the guy-lac beetle, the shellac beetle, shellac.
But shellac wasn't cutting it. It was too rare.
It took 6 months and 15,000 beetles to get a pound of this resin.
Leo Bakeland set himself to the task of trying to create a replacement in his lab in upstate New York. We know this because Leo kept meticulous journals. He wrote about vacations he took and what he had for dinner and all the experiments he was doing.
Carl read these journals, and he says Leo was mixing together different combinations of chemicals. And again, he'd get a mess. Sometimes he made a spongy mass or useless gunk, and sometimes it was worse.
If the reaction going on was hot enough, there was a good chance that as you poured this in, the fumes would burst into flame immediately, like a, or if you have a room full of propane gas and somebody throws a match in there, boom, you know, the gas is going to explode.
So there were explosions.
There were flash fires, let's put it that way.
After 5 years of combining chemicals and even creating a special oven to cook them in, Leo settled on a recipe. And the key ingredient was derived from fossil fuels. Leo used phenol. It's a waste product that you get from burning coal or from oil. One day, he popped open his oven, and he'd made a hard amber-colored material that had molded into the shape of the test tube.
Leo named his creation Bakelite. What it was the first ever plastic made in a laboratory. And Leo realized Bakelite could be made into anything. Coating for electrical sockets and plugs, yes, but also car parts and toothbrushes and combs.
And at the time, he wasn't just part of the plastics industry, he was the plastics industry.
And in a lot of ways, life as we know it is possible because of plastic. Leo's discovery changed the world. Today, we can afford phones and computers and medical devices because plastic is cheap and it's everywhere.
That also means there's a lot of plastic piling up in landfills and in the ocean. And so for many of us, our feelings about plastic are complicated. We tracked down a couple of Leo's great-grandkids, like Roberta Roll. She's so proud of Leo's invention and also so torn about what it means for the environment.
I try not to buy stuff in plastic. I don't buy my vegetables wrapped in plastic. You know, it's unavoidable sometimes. You order something from Amazon, it all comes wrapped in plastic.
And Leo's great-grandson told us sometimes when he's out for a drive, he'll stop the car, he'll get out, and he'll pick up plastic bags off the side of the road. Noel King,
Jess Jiang, NPR News.